there's like these ska elitists and ska purists being like saying what we're doing is not ska and that we're like emo bands with horns and just all sorts of just like shit that we're just like, okay, buddy, like whatever.
Brent, hey, welcome to the Question the Answers podcast. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on this wonderful 4th of July.
Yeah, I know. We're doing this on the 4th of July. Yeah, look, I mean, of all days. But yeah, so this is Brent Friedman, who is kind of a jack of all trades, but probably mostly well known right now for being the drummer for the band We Are the Union. And, you know, I'm really excited to have you on the show. I mean, gosh, you guys are blowing up, man. I mean, like, there's been so much great stuff going on in the works for you. You have this new album called Ordinary Life, and it's just came out on Bad Time Records. It's blown up everywhere. I mean, the songs are great. Album's great. It's been selling out. It's like the third pressing right now?
We're on the fourth. We actually just ordered the fifth.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's so exciting. Yeah. I mean, for any band right now, I'd say that that's like just a tremendous feat, and especially with no shows or anything having happened.
Yeah.
But besides We Are the Union, you've had your hand in so many other awesome things, man. I mean, you work pretty closely with Jer and Ska 2 Network. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've done a lot of work with a bunch of other bands over the years. And, you know, I thought it'd be really cool to kind of have you on here, talk about, you know, all the stuff that you've been doing over the last few years. And, you know, right out of the gate, so I have this question for you, and it has to do with your Instagram account name. So yeah. It's like, please tag me in your ska posts. Yeah. Like, so where did all that come from?
Funny enough, I did an interview that kind of answered this too for Aaron Karn's book, the In Defense of Ska book. So there's actually a chapter where he interviewed Jer and I explain it there, but like, oh man, I think it just like, it started as, you know, over the last, I don't know, decade, I guess. I don't even know where time goes. So I don't even know like if that's the right measure of time. But yeah, I guess over the last decade, I've had friends who would like, who used to be heavily into ska, kind of like, you know, sway away from ska. And then also like, you know, join the whole like, you know, it's cool to make fun of ska and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I would run into a few of those people at like shows or whatever. And like, you know, for instance, there was like one time I ran into a couple, I don't want to throw any name under the bus because I've still talked to these people. They have no idea that I talk about them all the time in some of these things. But yeah, I ran into them and they would like, you know, another friend would come up that they knew. They'd be like introducing people. They'd be like, hey, this is Brent. He's a ska guy. And I'm just like, why is like that relevant to any of this? Also, like, y'all used to like ska too, like, I don't know. And so there would be like this, like, I that part of my personality would just be the butt end of joke, primarily with, again, people who were friends who used to also like the genre. And so I think at some point I just became this like over exaggerated version of kind of what these people thought I was, because like, you could like as many genres as you want, but if ska is still one of them, then that defines your entire musical taste. So yeah, I think, and you know, I was a little bit late to Instagram, and then I finally joined and I just like was like, fuck it, okay, I'll do this. Because I think I was already kind of like doing the whole like pretending that I was just like ska was just like this entire part of my personality on Facebook and this and that. And you know, for what it's worth, there were like, I don't know, smaller ska bands that I would talk to across the country who would be like pumped that I was like, I don't know, hyping them up or just nonstop talking about ska and stuff. So I was like, okay, well, I guess it's cool for some people. I'm just going to lean into this like persona. And then, yeah, so that's kind of how it happened. And then, you know, here we are now where there's like actually this like super positive platform between Bad Time and Ska Tune and everyone on ska Twitter, and you know, so you know, no one questions it anymore at this point. They just think it's part of that whole culture, I guess. So yeah,
no, I mean that's cool. I think to a degree that's pretty awesome that you just kind of owned it, and you were like, you know what, screw it. If people are gonna like pigeonhole me as like having this, like you said, like be effectively like a major portion of my personality, then you know what, to hell with them. I'm just gonna do it, you know. And then, you know, on that note, you know, I've I had Mike Sosinski on here. I've had, you know, Aaron Carnes on here. I've had Catbite on here, you know, and like, I've made very clear like bones about it. It's like, I'm a big ska fan. I've been in ska bands over the years. I genuinely love the genre, and I love what's happening right now within the ska world. There are some things that I kind of do, I guess, sometimes get curious about, though, with like the fact that, like, okay, so in defense of ska, I understand, like, you know, we're trying to kind of elevate the conversation to not have ska like be this redheaded stepchild that a lot of people kind of paint it out to be. While it's like people on my side of the fence, it's like, dude, well, ska never did go away. Like, there's always been great ska bands.
Yeah.
And I guess just having not really experienced a lot of that negativity against ska, it doesn't hit me the same way. And sometimes I just feel like, man, like ska Twitter's really angry right now. like
don't fuck with us, man.
It's true. It's pretty intense. Like, I'll see like this kind of like ganging up of people. It's like, hey, wait a minute, you can't say that, or like anything like that. Yeah, but I mean, hey, more power to everyone who's involved, because you know, ska music is a totally valid and viable and awesome genre. And there's so many great bands doing awesome things. I mean, you know, obviously like the stuff that We Are the Union has been doing. I mean, Catbite is bar none my favorite ska band right now, period. And like, I'm so stoked on their new album that just got announced. I ordered it without even hearing the first single. I just got the email, like, dude, I'm ordering it. I don't even care. I know.
It's kind of the norm of Bad Time now at this point. People just see the announce drop and they're just like, fuck it. You know, people go and buy all the variants and then they hear the single or whatever. But
right. Yeah. And I mean, that's a really great thing to have happening right now. And you know, it's funny, as you know, so I run this small record label, and one of the things that I keep on telling bands is like, dude, look at what Bad Time Records is doing. Look at what those bands are doing. They're elevating each other. They've all got each other's backs, and I'm telling you, that's a major reason why they're being successful right now, and why everyone's selling out of like the first and second pressings of these records. Now, this is of course mindful of the fact that, especially in a band like We Are the Union, We Are the Union's been around for quite a long time now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so a lot of people, oh, sorry.
No, please go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of people are, it's funny to hear about like new ska bands, and like, you know, technically Kill Lincoln and We Are the Union just turned 15 last year, I think it was. And then Kill Lincoln, I think is definitely over 10 years old. I forget. But like, so it's funny that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, sure, like we're younger bands than, you know, Weston Jake and Relic Fish and Boston and all that. But it is funny to hear about, you know, people being like, oh yeah, these new bands. And I'm just like, you do. Well, we've been around for a decade, but I'm happy you're here now checking us out, I guess. So, but
right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, look at, you know, Adam Davis with Omnigon. Yep. I mean, you know, they are technically like a younger band in the grand scheme of things. But I mean, Barry and he were in Link 80, you know what I mean? Yep. Who are over 20.
You played Blast Bandits with Barry. Is that correct? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Nice. Right. Okay. Yeah. I had no idea. That's awesome.
Yeah. Barry and I go way back. Well, Adam and I go way back too, but. Yeah. No, I mean, great guys. I love Omnigon, and I love the fact that they're still, you know, doing everything, and I can't wait to hear what they come out with next too. But with regards to We Are the Union, so how did you get connected? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I remember I saw something in a post that you put on social media where you were a longtime fan, and now you're in the band. So correct. I don't know, maybe walk me through that journey.
Man. I just like the first time I ever saw We Are the Union or heard of We Are the Union, I was on tour with my really terrible, like, Choking Victim worship ska punk band. And we played this show in Denver, and I believe the event was called D-Town Skankdown. And it was like this, like, this show like kind of went down like in infamy because like it was like this, it was like Aquabats headlined, and then there was like Voodoo, Gull Skulls, and Mustard Plug, and there was a lot of like bigger bands, and then there was like a ton of other like medium tier bands like Watu and I can't remember who else, but like, long story short, Aquabats were the only good bands I got paid, and everyone got stiffed, and it turned into this whole thing. I remember this to this day. I don't know, but it was the first time I ever saw or heard We Are the Union, and I remember watching them on stage, and like, you know, I, because, you know, I think, sorry to jump around here a bit, but like, part of like why I've been able to like stay engaged with ska for my entire life is because I've come across like newer bands that will like get me excited about the genre again, or like they're doing something different that I never heard before, and you know, or they're just doing something cool, or they're, you know, there's more substance to this band than some of the other bands that I've came along or whatever. And Watu was that band at the time, and so I meet them at home and like downloaded like that, because their first record was like for free on like Bandcamp or something like that. And then like that record was just like the first We Are the Union record was like one of my, it still is one of my favorite ska punk records of all times. I like still listen to it as a fan, which is really weird. I even got to play the 10-year anniversary shows with them, which is was amazing. But so anyway, so I heard them then, and then like I went on to like play in a couple more ska punk bands that kind of toured and, you know, kind of crossed paths with like We Are the Union, but not like a lot. And I would also like book them as like a DIY promoter when they'd come to SoCal, Southern California, just because like nobody really knew who they were out here, but I did. And so I was just kind of like, fucking, I'll book like all five of their fucking California shows. I don't care. I just like want to see them, you know, and do stuff like that. I think along that timeline, like when I was doing that, I think, again, like if you ask Reed now, she would probably not admit it, but like I was probably kind of a punisher to them, just because like, I was just like, please, I just want to hang out with all y'all and book your band and blah, blah, blah. And like, what was it? And then so fast forward a couple years later, you know, I'd cross paths with them at Fest. I think I like got to the point where I was like kind of friends with Reed, but I think it was more so me just being a fan and Reed just being nice. Let me tag along at like, we'd go get coffee at Fest or this and that or whatever, you know? And, at some point, you know, the drummer of a long time had left. They had this other guy drumming for a little while. And I remember being at a Fest where that newer person, I ran into him and he was just like, he knew I was a fan and he like came out to me to say, hey, you know, so I'm going to be going to school full time and, you know, We're the Union's probably going to need a drummer. And at that point I had kind of already known that I was going to be quitting the current band that I was in. And I remember texting or messaging Reed or something. I don't remember the form of communication, but I was just kind of like, hey, like, if y'all need, you know, a drummer for anything you have coming up, like, let me know. My availability is about to open up. And sure enough, you know, ended up like meeting up with Reed for pizza. And she was just kind of like, you know, we have this tour coming up and we really need a drummer and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And like, so we want to ask if you want to come play with us. And so that's kind of how it started. And then, you know, every band I've kind of been in, I've been like the exact opposite of the drummer stereotype, like where I just like, I don't just hop in the van when I'm told and play drums. Like, I'm just like, I need to be a part of everything, whether that's, you want to call that managing or whether you want to call that day to day or like whatever. I'm just like, I just like have to be that. I just like to do that. Like, whether it's, I mean, anything from accounting, putting together budgets, to helping with marketing, to helping putting together like what designs go on merch, helping with, you know, the booking, like everything. I just like what I don't know. I just like, I feel weird being in a band and not knowing what's going on 24/7. So, so yeah. And then shortly after I joined the band, like, and Reed knew that I had like that kind of mindset, and you know, she was that person for so long. And I think she wanted to like not be the only person that was doing it. And so, you know, fast forward a year later, I'm already like the person. I think my first show ever was Fest. Oh God, I don't even remember what year it was. I mean, I think at this point it's been 5 years now. But I just remember like Reed introducing me on stage as like, yeah, the new person, you know, Brett, like he's already the person handling the money. I don't know. I don't know what to say, you know. So but yeah, so shortly after, you know, I went from being a fan to fucking managing the band, playing in the band, basically. So
yeah,
it's been great. Yeah, it's super cool. And then yeah, like a couple years, I'm so bad with like time, I can't remember. But yeah, like shortly after, a couple years in, we did the anniversary shows for that first record, and again, that first record like more or less changed my life. And so it was cool. I got to play those shows, and like those were wild shows, and I was just like, got like goosebumps playing the songs. And Reed now like basically doesn't hate that first record, but it's just like, it's been so long where she's just like, can we just focus on the new stuff? So right. But I still like talking about that. I still like playing those songs. So yeah.
Yeah, well, now correct me if I'm wrong, but is Reed's pretty much the only person who's originally like from the beginning, right?
Brandon, the bassist, also original as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, I didn't realize that. So
no, yeah. And then Ricky, our guitar player, has been there for quite a while, but not since day one. He's not on the first record, but he's basically OG for the most part. And then like, yeah, me and Jer, the newbies, if you will, which again, now it's been 5 fucking years. So,
right. Yeah.
I don't know where time goes, but yeah.
No, I mean, well, I mean, that's pretty rad. I mean, I've had a similar experience in that, like, you know, I got to join Tsunami Bomb, after they came back together. And it was initially they had the original guitar player, and then they had another guy filling in, and then they eventually needed somebody else. So they asked me, and it was just kind of nice because I'd been friends with them for forever, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, dude, like, of course I'd love to do this. Like you guys are great. And like, I think it's really cool that you're doing this. So it's been great to kind of be a part of that journey, you know, and like now be part of like,
yeah, whole... it's cool. I meet a couple other people who have like the same thing, and it's the coolest thing ever that like we're playing in our fucking favorite bands, you know? It's like,
right.
Cool. Yeah. Only in punk and ska or whatever can that really happen, I guess. I don't know. Or at least it's more realistic to happen. So
yeah, I mean, it's funny, like I had a friend of mine, Ben Flanagan, on a few episodes back, and you know, his band is made up of like three kind of heavy hitters from like old, like, well, not older, but you know, within like the last 20 years, kind of bigger alternative rock bands, you know. And you know, so these guys like come from like that world, you know. And we were having this conversation about, you know, what are like some of the major differences between like the punk and ska and like indie world versus like this kind of rock and roll world, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of hard to pinpoint because there are differences, obviously, but I guess sometimes you have to like quantify it weirdly because like the question I kind of posed to him was like, how does a band who wants to be a hard rock band kind of elevate themselves, because they don't have like the same circuit as like the punk scene.
Oh yeah.
You know?
So no, I think about that all the time. I'm just like, you know, how the trajectory is supposed to go if you're a punk or anything under the punk umbrella, because there's this DIY infrastructure. I'm just like, dude, how do like rock bands or like any other genres do that? Like, is there a DIY infrastructure? I mean, like, I sound like obviously so like an idiot saying these things, because I'm sure there might be, but I'm so close. I mean, you know, I'm living in a bubble, I guess. But like, to my knowledge, there is not, or at least anything that's even comes close to like the DIY infrastructure that we sort of have here.
Well, and like I would be curious to know about the generically speaking, like pathways that like somebody in the hip hop world or like the underground rap like world like may have to go through in order to elevate to like the next level, you know? Because I know very little about those worlds, you know, in regards to like that, you know. So but I you know, I think you and I can both agree that like you pointed out, there is kind of like this standard way of moving through the ranks, you know, within like the punk and ska and like kind of indie rock world. So
yeah,
it's an interesting thing to think about. But so kind of piggybacking on something that you mentioned earlier, so you know, you do a lot of behind the scenes work, you know, within the bands that you've been in, and like I'm kind of like you, like I'm one of those people that like really likes to kind of have their hands dirty in a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it makes me feel like better about the way things go, maybe. But so you also work pretty closely with Mike Sosinski and Bad Time, and you kind of handle some stuff for him with respect to the label.
Yeah.
And then you also do or have been doing some stuff for Jer Skatu Network as well. At least that's currently you're still doing that, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And yeah, so tell me a little bit about like that work that you're doing.
Oh man. So I guess like so with what am I trying to say? I think the best way to kind of like explain how I like got here is to kind of like back up a little bit and like so before I was like I had a lot of time to spend working with my friends and my own band and stuff. I was working doing day to day for MXPX and Goldfinger and a couple other bands. And I kind of like really learned the ropes of like how to basically do just day to day operations, like spanning every aspect of the music industry, really. I guess that's kind of long and short. And it was great. And I loved working for those bands, stuff like that. But like it was such a grind and it took such a toll. My mental health, that's unfortunately the reality of it. And so I did eventually step away, took some time off. And like obviously I found myself like doing some of those day-to-day things again, but this time it was like it's with my friends, it's with I don't have someone over my shoulder all the time. I can take a day to just take a mental break if I need to. But those are all things that like I did always enjoy doing. I think I just needed a little bit more of like a freelance aspect to it, and just being able to like do it on my own time and stuff like that. But like with Jer, I mean, I've known Jeremy even before we both joined We Are the Union, and since day one of Scottish Network. And Jer, wonderful human being, wonderful hard worker. They're a little bit chaotic with their organization, so they need someone to kind of help and answer emails and kind of like, hey, can you throw my signature on this thing that I'm doing for this, or can you do this or that, and can you help me with marketing assets? And so that was something that just like naturally found myself doing. And that was the same thing with Mike too. It was just like, when Mike first started Bad Time Records, I think I told him like, man, you want to start a ska label in 2018? That's like the worst idea ever. But here we are, obviously 2 years later. I mean, it was the greatest idea ever, obviously. But like Mike does so much, and I think it started off with him just kind of like coming to me to bounce ideas, and then it like resulted in me like helping with this. And because I was always just like, dude, I don't care if you have any money. I know how this stuff goes. Like just like I just like doing some of this stuff, and I know how to do it. And if you need ever need help with anything, then send it my way, and I'll be happy to help. And so it started with like, yeah, it started with like him just like bouncing ideas, and then it was like, hey, I ship so much records that like I would love to not ship the soft merch as well, meaning like the shirts and the slip mats and all the stuff that isn't record. And so, excuse me. So he eventually, all the Bad Time Records like shirts and Kill Lincoln shirts and stuff like that, like. Eventually we set it up where I was the one shipping that processing orders and shipping those things and stuff. So if you ever get anything from Bad Time Records South, that's actually me. That is not Mike. So it started off with that, and then it turned it into like, yeah, then like anytime there was any sort of marketing campaign, whether it was like a record release or announce on sale, or it was just like merch drop or anything like that, it was like, I had so much experience like working for all those last bands. And like obviously not to discredit Mike, because Mike has like great like intuition when it comes to all this shit. And so there's been so many times where I'm just like, Mike, dude, like you don't even need me, like you're so much better at this than I am, or whatever. But that's also us just like hyping each other up. So but yeah, so I've helped, like if you've seen any like the dumb Kill Lincoln marketing videos, most of those have been my terrible ideas. Like it'll literally be me like texting Mike like, all right, cool, the announced video should be this, and then he'll be like, cool, done. And I was like, dude, I was kind of joking, but like if you want to do that, then like that's cool. But that's, I don't know, that's kind of also the fun of it, is just like we're just texting each other the worst ideas and then making it a reality, and then just kind of having fun with it or whatever. So but yeah. And so I mean, now it's like I'm just around and like in all the conversations with anytime there's a release coming up, and just helping with like any of the strategy, and like on announce days especially, like you know, I'm checking inventory for Mike, making sure there's always like an extra pair of eyes on things. I actually handle all of like the customer service emails now, because as you can imagine, you can actually get pretty burnt out from answering customer service emails. So Mike handed that over to me, and so do that. And yeah, just kind of odds and ends and with both of them. And I also actually, not too many people know, but I also do accounting work for the Suicide Machines, which is like my most recent addition to my my Swiss Army knife of jobs, if you will. So yeah, it's a lot. My day to day is just all over the place, and it's just, Suicide Machines are my friends. Let me just say that out loud. So it's like, so again, yeah, it's like just doing a bunch of things I kind of already know how to do that other people just don't want to do. And they're all people who I really like working with and trust, and we shoot the shit all the time and we get a lot done. It's cool. I don't know.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. What keeps the ska scene together? It's Brent. Yeah.
Very debatable.
Holds it all together. He's the glue. Yeah. No, I mean that that's great. I mean, I'm assuming, like, so out of curiosity, and what do you do for a day job? I mean, is this your day job?
This is it. Yeah. It was, I was on monthly salary when I was working for MX and Goldfinger and all those bands back then. And, you know, I'm in a position where I have like pretty low overhead, which is like very fortunate to say. But I also, you know, since all of my jobs now are under the table, I still can get unemployment, which is nice. But even without that, I'd be fine, especially now. Like, I do all that. And then I don't even think that's everything that I do, because I also do, like, I just took over, like, I'm doing the Omnigon store. I do all the fulfillment for that. Going to be taking over the merch fulfillment for Suicide Machines. My partner Jessica does the fulfillment for all of the Scotchy Network merch. So, like, me and my partner have a hand in like so many things, and it's all kind of just growing, honestly. Like, it's crazy. So, like, yeah, this is our day job, I guess. It's great. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, the people I talk to on a daily basis and the people who like pay me is like, you know, if my high school self knew what I was doing now, it'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? So yeah, it's really cool. I'm definitely like, I'm aware how fortunate we are to be able to essentially make money off of ska punk right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what a time to be alive, right?
yeah, for sure.
Well, and I not to bounce around too much, but I know that We Are the Union have a pretty awesome short run of shows coming up later this year, and I'm particularly very excited about this because you're going on tour with two of my favorite ska bands, Slackers and the Agrolites, and I mean, talk about just two of the best bands that do it live. Period, as far as I'm concerned. But it'll be my first time actually seeing We Are the Union. So that'll be really exciting for me. And it's in Berkeley. It's like right around the corner from where I live. Nice. So it's not too far. But tell me a little bit about how that came together. I mean, you know, I you guys have a booking agent, I'm assuming, right?
You're looking.
Oh, so you handle all the booking too. Okay. Well, yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so fun. I've had that same conversation with Jamie, who is our publicist, who handles all our PR stuff. Every time she's like, well, who does this? And I'm like, that's me too. the agent was Reed for a while, and then again it was me, and that was something that I worked for those bands. I did a lot of like the coaching with getting deals, and so I have like experience with even doing deals with Live Nation, AEG, and all those, but I also obviously know the DIY realm very well. And so, I don't know. Also, just something I just like always want to have a hand in, I guess. That was Slacker's agent. It's funny, our Slacker's agent actually, like, I think, like, messaged us on Bandcamp or Instagram or something like that. I don't know. Very informed. But, like, honestly, like, I don't know. I respect that. I mean, like, the music industry is honestly not as formal as you think it is. So,
right.
Yeah, just messaged on there and then hit us up and, you know, had a good – I was a little wary because I was just kind of like, okay, this is like a different, like, kind of like the opposite side of the ska spectrum is what we're doing. But, like, you know, we talk with them and – They're just kind of like, you know, paying attention to everything Bad Time does, and like we really, and we also acknowledge that there's like this generational gap in ska and punk right now, and you know, we want to help bridge that gap, and like, you know, everything they said was like all the right stuff, and so we're like, hell yeah, like let's do that. But it was also at the time where like we weren't even thinking about booking shows, because it was like, you know, and we certainly didn't like have any interest in being like the first band out the gate. And like, while we were of course anxious to play shows, we were just kind of like, you know what, let's, we have this new record that like is doing well, and like we have all these other things we're working on, let's just focus on that, and then like when we know it's like good and safe, let's book some shows then. And so when those came to us, it was funny, they're like, are you doing anything around this time? Like, is this going to conflict? And I'm just like, no, dude, we don't have anything booked yet. So I worked out really well. And so yeah. And then, you know, since then I've been chatting with like their agent a bunch, and just like, he's just kind of like, everything y'all do is you, and like Bad Time is the real deal. And like, you know, all these other big ska bands should become knocking, like, you know, like, they'd be stupid not to take all of y'all out because of what y'all doing and the visibility they all have. And, you know, just trying to like, you know, and they were really good about being like, you know, in the past we've been, you know, the older band who have maybe said or done some things that are, you know, would be coined as problematic like these days, and we're trying to like hold ourselves accountable and learn from that and, you know, do better. And, you know, we've had, you know, fans now or whatever tell us to like that we're being too progressive or doing that, and we've just told those fans to go fuck themselves and shit. I'm like, that's dope, hell yeah, you know. So
right,
that was part of it. So yeah, so that's cool, we're stoked. I mean, like, we got to play the Observatory on a Saturday night, which is like down the street from my house, and like, you know, the venue fucking rips, so it's cool. And like, you know, all my friends and everyone in Orange County can come see us, and you know, a lot. And then, you know, especially like pandemic was, you know, a big during the pandemic, like all of our circle of bands like got so much more visibility, not just Watu, but just, you know, again, all the Bad Time bands and just Bad Time adjacent bands, you know, just any ska band in our circle. And it was funny because I've always felt like a lot of people in Orange County around me like didn't even necessarily know who We Are the Union was. I think they just thought it was like my new band, not necessarily realizing the band had been around for forever, and then me joined the band or whatever. But like since then, since pandemic and since everything's been going on, of course, like everyone around me like now is very familiar with the band and very excited. And so now I'm excited to go play for everybody. So,
yeah. I mean, like you said, like it feels like right now that the ska genre kind of across the board is feeling the effects of this, like, I don't know, maybe uprising may not be the right word, but like,
sure, right.
Like, I guess, yeah. And I mean, you know, everyone's kind of being treading lightly with like this fourth wave, you know, nonsense. Sure. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever. It's like, is like, it kind of feels like that, where it's like, okay, like it's coming back into the limelight. Like, you know, even like the Washington Post, you know, is writing, you know, stories about you guys. And like, that's killer. That's great.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and again, it's just kind of strange for a person like myself, who just like, dude, ska never went away. Like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. People are like making this kind of huge deal out of it. When it's like, well, it's not that it shouldn't be a huge deal, it's just more like, yeah, but it's just these bands are great, and like that should be the point. It should
for
be
sure.
These bands are really good, let's talk about the bands, but mm-hmm. let's not make it about, oh, ska's fourth wave and like all this stuff, which is like, dude, that kind of, it takes away from the actual real thing that's happening here.
Correct.
But yeah, like, I mean, bands like Flying Raccoon Suit, you know, who are not on Bad Time Records, but like, you know, they're kind of getting a little bit of that energy being pushed their way. And like, even like some of the older bands like Voodoo Glow Skulls and like Agrolites and, you know, hell, even like Aquabats and like bands like this are just like probably getting a little bit of more attention because of like what's happening with Bad Time Records and Kill Lincoln and Watu and Omnigon and Catbite and everyone. So I mean, all of it is good, and all of it's like, I think moving the needle in the right direction. So so to kind of again shift gears again, but I love how these conversations go sometimes. So you worked a little bit with Bad Cop.
I tour managed them for a couple of tours. Yeah, it was like I don't even remember how that came about. I was like friends with the merch person. Although I will say that Jenny Cotterell, the guitar player, lives in the complex that my mom lives in, also in Huntington Beach. And I just remember like a couple times I'd visit my mom this was like pre Fat Records for them, and I'd be like, why the hell is there a Bad Cop Bad Cop sticker on this person's car? Like, how the fuck would someone even know who they are? And obviously I laugh bad that night with Jenny, but like, yeah, I don't even know how it was. Like, I would like cross paths with them and just like, you know, DIY shows I'd go to that they're playing or this and that or whatever. And then they like heard through the grapevine that I was like tour managing. I can't even remember, because honestly, I don't even think I had really tour managed. Well, that's not necessarily true. I've been tour managing my whole life. I just didn't realize that was an actual job. but like, yeah, at some point they were going on tour with Leftover Crack, and like at the time, like Leftover Crack was like my favorite band, and I'm like, sure, I'm gonna go do this just so I can go see this band every night. And so I started doing that, and they immediately like, you want to come do Warped Tour with us? And I was just like, sure, that sounds like a horrible idea, but let's do it. And you know, so I did Warped Tour with them, and again, that was like, y'all have done Warped Tour before, right? Like.
Well, I've done the Warped Tour a few times. I've never done an entire Warped Tour personally, but Tsunami Bomb did several of them back in the day. Yeah.
It's like, everyone was like, how was Warped Tour? I was like, I don't know if it was like the best summer of my life or the worst summer of my life. So it was, you know, I'm sure you've heard all those stories, whatever. So
I have,
And so I did that with them, and, I did that for a while. And then it got to the point I was just so busy with so many other things outside of tour managing that I just had to stop. But like, they're still such my like really good friends to this day. And my partner will sometimes go and do merch with them and whatnot. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, they're great. I've met a few of them. I had Lynn on the show, and she's awesome. She actually came and joined us on stage, for, a secret thing we did over at Fest. It was super fun, but, she filled in for bass so that Dom could take the mic and sing on one of the songs. But, I'm stoked for them. And like, I know that their tour plans were all like shattered during COVID. I mean, as everyone else's was, but they're gearing up for a bunch of good stuff. So I'm excited for what they've got going on. You know, one of the questions that I kind of wanted to ask you about was, you know, with respect to, you know, we've already kind of touched on it a little bit, like, you know, in defense of ska, like, does ska need to be defended against, like, you know, ska Twitter and like, you know, everyone kind of like, being a little bit not so much emboldened, like to kind of like act, you know, like, oh, like we got to like really like pay attention to like make sure that people are not like shitting on ska all the time, you know, like that. But you kind of mentioned it earlier, it's like the whole thing with like your social media tag, like your name, you know, and having it kind of become like part of your personality, right? And well, it's not so much that it becomes part of your personality, but it's like people kind of think that it is.
Right.
Right. Do you feel any kind of sense that there's potentially maybe some danger that because of all of everything that's happening with the ska scene right now, that it will almost make it worse in terms of like it being typecast and pigeonholed? Because like let me give you some context as to why I'm asking this question. So I was in a ska band years and years ago, the Blast Bandits, right? And when we played a lot of shows, it was oftentimes with bands that were not ska bands, right? And that just felt natural and like common, right? And I know that it's not necessarily just ska that I think potentially has the danger of this happening, but I feel like sometimes it's better when you have more shows that are like a mix instead of just being like this homogenized, like, oh, it's only ska bands, you know? And I guess what I'm trying to ask is like, do you feel like maybe there's almost like too much energy being going in right now to like ska, 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 you know, like, and it's only ska and like only ska is the only thing that matters. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't mean to sound like weirdly negative when I ask that question. So I hope that's not coming across that way, but.
No, I don't know. I think that like a show start happening, I think it'll probably even itself out a bit. I think that there will be a time and place for like, it should be just this stacked ska bill. And then I think there will be a time and place where like, you know, like Jer has their project Jer, not just Sketchy Network. And they're going to probably go and do shows with like emo bands. And like, I can see Watu also doing, you know, shows of emo bands and pop punk bands. And at that point, you're basically just like, these are just shows of packages or bills of good bands. And like part of what we're doing is making it irrelevant that we're a ska band. It just so happens that we're like, you're good bands. I mean, you know, Jeff is doing that too. Like, you know, some of the Ska Dream shows that he's doing, like they have like his, the support bands are not ska bands, you know, it's just so happens the headliner is a ska band. So I think there'll be stuff like that. I think you'll still unfortunately see your quintessential like seven band ska show, local ska show and some things. And like, obviously those things are going to keep happening. And those are the things that, you know, that people hate ska are going to obviously like grab onto and be like, see, the genre still is annoying as it always been or blah, 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 blah. But then the people who are like the real people who are kind of like, oh, okay. No, like these are good bands. They just happen to be ska punk bands and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, like, I don't claim to know what the future is going to look like, but I do think that, like, yeah, I think there will be some positivity to that kind of thing and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the approach that like Watching's taken, because we're like, fuck, man, we really like want to do like these bad time eccentric like bills. You know, we were doing some of that stuff even before the pandemic. Like, we did Watch and Kill, Lincoln, Cat Bite, and they were some of the best shows we've ever fucking played. You know. And that was before, that was like when Cat Bite was like a brand new band. It was before Kill Lincoln had the new record, before we had our new record. And so like, we're always like, you know, anxiously waiting for pandemic to end so we can do stuff like that. But then also at the same time, we're kind of like, okay, well, we want to go and do shows with like, I don't know, there's like that band from New York, Teenage Halloween. Like, we might go and do shows with them, or we might go and do shows with, I don't know, I'm drawing a blank or whatever, but like, and I think all the ska bands that are in our circle would say the same thing too. Is it's like, we want to do, I don't know, it's about just, we know that we're catering shows to like what we think that the fans want to see. Like, we're not gonna like force scant fans to sit through like seven bands that don't make sense together, or we think that they're all going to be, you know, annoying them. And I don't know if that answers your question, I guess.
No, it's, I mean, yeah, and like, again, like, I wasn't sure if asking it that way was going to necessarily really ask the question that I wanted to ask, because,
for sure,
like, at the end of the day, like, of course you're always going to want to put together like a package of bands that makes sense, and you're going to want to make sure that you're catering to the right audience, and not only that, but you're trying to like make sure that the venue that you're playing at is going to be able to recoup on like their expenses and everything. And sometimes that means you need a three ska band bill so that you can draw the most people, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think that what I was more trying to get to was that I know that Aaron talks about it in his book, is like, mm-hmm. you know, for a better part of like that third wave, right? It was like just ska, ska, ska. And like, it was just like this insane inundation of ska everywhere, right? Until the point where you just ad nauseum, you're just like, dude, I don't care. Like, I get it. Like, it's fine, you know, but I don't want to really hear about it anymore, right? And I think that that's an unfortunate byproduct of this, but I don't think that there's like any danger per se. It's just that I sometimes wonder if having it be such like a, you know, part of the personality, you know, sure. like it becomes yeah. like almost like, oh, like too much, you know, maybe, but.
Yeah. Well, I think that also like part of it becoming, I don't want to say that, you know, like what killed the genre, because I don't think that's true, but I think why it became a lot of white noise to people is that like there was, and I mean, like, I don't know, not to like sound arrogant as to, you know, hyping what we're doing up, but like, I think that like towards the end, there was not really much substance to whether it's the lyrics or whether it's just like what the band stood for. And, you know, I do believe that like what, like all of our bands are doing is just like, we're writing like lyrics that most ska bands in the past weren't necessarily writing about, or were like, you know, like we're fighting for like progressive movements that like, obviously like the two-tone movement. Yes. Obviously like those were all doing. And so it's funny, cause this argument keeps coming up that like, there's like these ska elitists and ska purists being like saying what we're doing is not ska, and that we're like emo bands with horns and just all sorts of just like shit that we're just like, okay, buddy, like whatever. But like the reality is like, there's also a lot of people saying like, no, this is actually closer to the two-tone movement and everything in between, because these people are showing how diverse not only like the music can be, but just like the people in general. and that like they actually give a shit about like human rights and these like these causes and things, and like they're writing songs about depression and racism and all these things that like, and so we're doing this and then people are still mocking our genre. Like, are you serious, dude? Like, I mean, like, we're writing about like way more serious things than like some of the other genres are there. And I think that like that's gonna be the longevity. And like, again, like, yes, of course you're still gonna have the people who are like, oh my god, I'm so tired of seeing ska in the mainstream or whatever, but like those people were just never gonna care anyways, I think.
Well, absolutely. And you totally touch on like an awesome point. And I actually appreciate you mentioning that, because I did want to reflect on that a little bit, because you're totally right. Like, the fact that you're talking about trans rights, you're talking about like, you know, women's rights, and like, you're trying to make sure that it's like, no, this is important stuff. Like, we need to be talking about this. And it's not so much that, oh, we're the only genre that's talking about it, but we're one that's doing a lot of it. Like, yeah, we're trying to really make it a focal point. Like, we're trying to make it something that's like elevating it and like not right. so much being hidden behind this goofy layer that so many people unfortunately affiliate with ska music, because I think that's the danger that I was concerned about, where it's like, oh, well, people are just going to be like, oh, well, it's ska, ska, ska. No, it's more than that, dude. Like, we're talking about all this other stuff that's like really important and really valid. And like, we happen to be ska bands.
Yeah. You know? You could also dance to our songs. That's like, you know, like you can cry, but you could also skank to our songs. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally think it's great. I appreciate the fact that y'all are like really taking it to heart and like kind of wearing that on your sleeves. Mm. So, you know, my hat's off to you for all that.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
But yeah, man, I mean, I appreciate all this great info. I mean, it sounds like you've had like a pretty awesome journey, like, you know, coming from, you know, your days in like the earlier bands up and through now all the success with We Are the Union. So appreciate you talking to me about that. So I have a couple of other questions that I like to throw out to everyone.
Yeah.
First one is, who are some artists that you think just need to be on people's radar right now?
I mean, I'm going to be biased, and you probably already can tell what I'm going to say, but just like the entire Bad Time, you know, roster and any band adjacent to that. Like, with Bad Time, obviously, you know, Kill Lincoln, Catbite, Watu, Omnigon, which I don't know if you know, but I do also play in Omnigon.
No, that's right. Yeah, I actually meant to mention that. Yeah.
There's a story there, but I know we have to keep this podcast 45 minutes or whatever. But yeah, and you know, Dissidente and Bad Operation and all those, like, the literally, like, this is the, it's been said a million times. I'm sure Mike, I'm sure Adam, Aaron, everyone says it, like, this is like, you show that this roster has something for, if you think you hate ska, listen, like, there is something here that you will like, you know, like, if you think you only like metal, like, listen to the best of the worst. I mean, there's literally blast beats on some of their songs. Like, it's insane. But then, yeah, and then there's also your Flying Raccoons too. There's Half Past Two. There's, who else am I missing? Fucking in the UK, Pook's got the band that used to be Beat the Red Light. Beat the Red Light's also a good band. But Redeemin, I don't know. The list goes on. But, like, there's so many killer younger ska bands, if you will, and I'm always going to shout those bands out, because that's all we're going to keep doing, is just like you know, yelling and shouting until people pay attention to us. So yeah,
well, it's working, you know. Thank you. Yeah, no, I mean, whatever you guys are doing, it's certainly, you know, benefiting every band so far, you know, it's been on through that label. So well, thank you. And yeah, I mean, I certainly celebrate the entire catalog, so, you know, I'm a fan. You know, one thing I definitely regret not signing up for the membership earlier this year.
The record club.
Yeah. I thought about it, and I was just like, you know what, like I'll admit, like, there's a few bands that I'm not as keen on, you
sure.
know.
And no, I get
just,
it.
You know, yeah, that's yeah. just my opinion. But totally. But there's more that I really like than ones that I'm not as keen on. So, you know,
right.
it still would have been I think a very good deal, you know, to get on. So,
totally, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and then last question I have for you. If you had to pick only five records to kind of listen to with you for the rest of your life, if you were trapped on like a desert island or something like that, what would they be?
Well, I don't mean to ruin the illusion, but I'm very happy you gave me a heads up about this ahead of time, because this is not an easy one to do on the spot. It is funny. So I went through like my Spotify literally because I was like, oh, this will be easy. I'll pick five bands, blah, blah. And then I made a list and it was just like 10 plus records that I'm like, oh God, I have to choose half of these. And so I chose five that I don't know, I think kind of like, I don't know, I guess I don't necessarily have a story behind some of these, but hopefully they're good ones. But first one, sort of Jelly Bean self-titled. That was that record, you know, that band, like I was very fortunate to go to shows and listen to get into like non-radio punk and ska bands at like an early age. And I discovered that record in like the sixth grade. Mm. I don't even think I realized it was a ska punk record, but like it, that was the record that made me fall in love with ska punk and arguably the record that shaped like basically what I'm doing now. I mean, that record still holds up to me today. I actually did get to work with them at some point too, like booking their shows and whatnot, but it was like towards the tail end where like they weren't very active and and whatnot. But again, yeah, that record is just so fucking good. So first one, Good Clean Fun, Positively Positive. Are you familiar with Good Clean Fun at all?
I remember the band. Yeah, I don't know much about them, but
okay. So yeah, that, I mean, that's like their best of record, or their complete discography rather. You know, like every fucking like straight edge hardcore band does. But yeah, so they're from DC. They were a positive hardcore band. They were, you know, coined as posicore. But just like they were vegan, straight edge, feminist, like all songs about serious issues, but it was all sung in like a satirical manner. They had songs like called Beat the Meat, which was like about veganism and stuff like that. And just like, they were like a satirical version of Gorilla Biscuits, I guess. But like those songs in that record, just like, it's so good. And like, weirdly enough, like, you know, sometimes when I'm bummed or I'm like, you know, feeling depressed or whatever, some, like, you know, just having trouble with, you know, mental health, like I was straight up listening to those songs because it is a positive force and they'll get me in a better mood. So I'll say that one because if I'm on a desert island, I'm going to be bummed as fuck. So, and then hopefully this one is not an unpopular opinion, but Green Day Insomniac, best Green Day record. You know, Dookie is obviously the nostalgic one, but Insomniac is a better record. Also, I'm pretty sure J.A.R. is a B-side from that record, which is also the best Green Day song ever. So yeah.
That is a really good song, man. Like I will admit, like, that's one of the songs that like I think will kind of always be like thought of as like one of their better ones. Yeah.
And that movie Angus is great, great fucking movie. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Kid Dynamite self-titled. Mm-hmm. Kid Dynamite is just like my favorite hardcore band, and that record is just so good front to back. I don't know if I have anything more to say. that record and the band's so good. And then just Slapstick Anthology. I think that's probably like my favorite ska punk record of all times. I mean, it's tough because like obviously I have so many favorite ska punk bands and records, but like I do think that record holds up for me even more so than like Energy, even more so than some of the Suicide Machines records. And wow, just something about it. I mean, just like, I don't know, anything early Asian Man is so fucking good. And just like, that's the one. Metalhead and Parking Lot is like one of my favorite fucking songs. So yeah, I think those five records, I think,
nice. Yeah. That dude, Sort of Jelly Beans is a band that, rarely gets talked about at least amongst like people that I'm talking talks to ska, but man, so fun, so good. Managed to catch them live a few times. I actually got to play a couple shows with them. They were always really fun. And like it's great. Like the drummer is now the drummer for Aquabats.
Yeah. Awesome. I remember that whole transition too. I remember, I worked at Blockbuster Video, and I remember Ricky came in to rent some movies at the location I was working at, and I, of course, he was just like shocked that I was punishing him about being in a sort of Jelly Beans rather than the Aquabats.
Right.
So, yeah, it was super funny. I just remember like he didn't have his Blockbuster card, and I had to like look up his name, and he's like, "My last name is not Fitness," and I'm like, "I know." Yeah, that record is like, I kind of talk to some of those guys, even Ricky, like I'll run into him occasionally. And I think he, again, just kind of remembers me as the guy who punches Sir Jelly Beans.
Right.
Wiley, I'll talk to occasionally and whatnot. And it's just so cool. I mean, like, I feel so bad, like, telling all those people. I'm just like, yeah, y'all changed my life when I was in middle school, and just making all those guys feel super fucking old and shit. But
right,
I don't know. It's, I mean, it's just cool to talk to everyone that I used to just fucking list, or that I in high school, they were just like my fucking heroes, and now I just talk to all of them like as like they're my peers and shit. So yeah,
that's cool. I mean, I can't necessarily speak for Barry, but I know that, well, I can't speak for anyone else in the band, but I remember the Blast Bandits would be very jealous that y'all have any affiliation with Jay Navarro at this point. Like, because we were huge Suicide Machines fans. Like a funny little story. I remember apparently the band had given Jason Navarro or Jay Navarro a demo tape at a Suicide Machine show. I think it was at Slim's San Francisco when it was still around, like years and years and years ago. And they had the phone number on it. And from what I understand, what happened was is that a few weeks later, our drummer's mother got a phone call, and apparently it was from him. And he was like saying, yeah, let's do the demo. It's really good. And like, sure enough, everyone's like, what did you say? Like, Jay Navarro called? And like, everyone's like very upset that he could talk to him, of course. But they were obviously like elated that he called. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know, fun little story.
Oh, no, I talk to Jay all the time. It's the weirdest fucking thing ever. I'm just like, he's like the most fucking, I mean, that band, you know, went from fucking being on the Return to Saturn tour playing arenas to, you know, Jay still has no problem fucking playing in a basement, you know?
Right.
And there, he's just so humble. And that band is so weird to think that they were on Disney Records for so many records. And it's the trajectory of that band is insane, but those records are still so fucking good. And they're such wonderful people. And it's wild, and I'm so glad they're still a fucking band. It's insane.
Well, and dude, for my money, they put out one of the best records of last year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That Revolution Spring is amazing. Yeah.
It's very good. Yeah. I remember being able to hear that record like slightly earlier than some people, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm listening to a new Suicide Machines record in 2020, and this is like the biggest mind fuck like ever. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It
had been years since I had seen them, and I actually went to that first back to the Beach Fest that they did.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and they played, and you know, like it's funny seeing them that many years apart, because
yeah,
I remember seeing them when it was like the original four, you know, with like Derek, Royce, Dan, and Jay.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, just a monster band, you know, like, I mean, untouchable, you know. And then you see him years later, and it's just Jay, but dude, he's got some great players with him. And like, dude, Jay's like still like a ball of energy. He's like getting out on the crowd. He's just like, totally sounds great. I mean, they haven't missed a step, dude. And like to come out with such a monster record all these years later, it's like, dude, yeah, they're great. They're awesome. Yeah.
It's so good. Sorry. I was laughing when you mentioned the first Back to the Beach. Cause that, I remember that show, Jay called me up a couple weeks before that. And he's just like, hey, I'm going to get you into Back to the Beach, but you have to tour manage for us. And I'm like, okay. And so I did that. And that was really funny because like the artist check-in was actually at Edison High School, which was my high school that I went to. So it's like 8 a.m. on a fucking Saturday. And I'm like checking in for like my high school heroes at my high school, getting the artist credentials, and I'm just like, this is the most full circle shit ever. And I don't know, it was also just funny that Jay like conned me into TMing for them, but obviously it was, that band is so easy, you just get them a bunch of booze and then they're very easy.
Boom, there you go. I mean, that was a great show. That was really fun.
Whole thing, both years were super fun.
Well, Brent, it was really a pleasure having you on the show, man. And like, you know, again, congratulations on everything that's going on with We Are the Union. I'll be sure to catch you guys in Berkeley. I'm really excited for the show, and I'll make sure to introduce myself and whatnot. But yeah, man, we'll talk to you real soon.
Cool. Thank you.
Hey, race to the bar.
Let's go.
Wait.
Let go of these morbid obsessions. Every thought feels like a confession. She She said, if I had one life, gonna do what I want. If I had one life, I'm gonna do what I want. She was a mess at 17, running down a dream, stuck in this endless empty feeling. Give it a rest, chasing the girls around. Her lonely heart was a ghost town. They said, son, you better settle down and let go of these morbid obsessions. Every thought feels like a confession. She said, if I get one life, gonna do what I want. If I get one life, I'm gonna do what I want. Now in come the drugs and the booze. Razors, wrists, and self-abuse. Trapped like a rat, got nothing left to lose. She wanted a dress like all the other girls. A head full of curls. They said, son, you can't always get what you want in this world. Let go of these morbid obsessions. Every thought feels like a confession. She said, if I get one life, gonna do what I want. If I get one life, I'm gonna do what I want.
I want.